Y'all like that little move? I bet no one thought they'd see Sade here at church, huh? Well, I'm expecting a call from Jim, but I was thinking about that song in relation to, I know in Romans it talks about nothing will separate us from the love of God. And there's so many things we can go through in life, but His love is still there for us. So when I was listening to that song, I said, oh, this would be a good song to play before this message, just because this message is talking about living in longing or living by longing. And I'm waiting for Jim to call. I'm trying to buy a little time here so we can have a connection. As I said, call me in 3 minutes. Oh, here it comes, here it comes, here it comes. Jim Makinga. Jim Makinga, you are there. Hey, Jim, let me see if I can get you connected on the screen here. Joe was showing me how to do this thing. And all of a sudden, yeah, I'm gonna try to get you connected here. Joe, I got lost. Where is it? Where is that connection? He was just showing me how to do it. There he is. There he is. My hero. My hero. Hold on, Jim. Hold on. There we go. Oh, that's right. I forgot to do that part. We can hear you now.
Good.
Okay. Joe is...
No, what they really want to do getting today is...
Hey. Hey. Hey, look at... Oh, you're going to be on the big screen in a second. Joe's about to connect, and you can see everybody. Oh, hey, there you are. And everybody can see you.
Tropical.
Yeah.
Where you can see at the Treehouse Cafe.
I know.
Right, there you go. There.
I love that place. Everybody's waving. Everybody's waving. You see everybody waving? Yeah, we know you guys are having a good time.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
The commander spoke at church today.
What? He speaks Spanish?
He killed it.
Oh, okay. Where is he? Where is that him back there?
Mike Baker.
Oh, that's Mike.
This is awesome, Kenny. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, hey, hey. What's going on?
Give me a highlight, Bob Kanaga. Give me a highlight.
Oh, church today was awesome. It's just, we're serving the same Lord.
All right.
And David, what's your highlight so far? It's only been a day.
So, my highlight was playing Vigo yesterday. Even though Bake can't call out the numbers, we're bees. We had a lot of fun and got to spend some time with some older folks that are in a home here. So, it was amazing.
And Megan, what are you enjoying?
You know, I have to say, I have to agree with the commander. Playing bingo yesterday was so much fun. Just loving on these people and having a blast with them and trying to communicate and hearing everybody's stories.
Yes. Oh, setenta. Oh, setenta.
Andrew, what about you, man? What's going on?
See my old friends. Yeah. Same with Roberto at church and a lot of the same families that we saw last year, so... Jesus is definitely here, and so should you guys be.
And Sandy, how did you like worship at church today?
I loved worship. I told them next time in July, I'm going to bring my violin, and we're going to do worship together.
What did you think of Mark and Jillian today? Because you watched them.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Awesome job. Awesome job.
Good job.
And Gary, what are you enjoying? The people. And John, how about you?
Awesome.
Yeah,
John surprised us. He knows the language.
Hey, well, hey, here's my question. Here's my question. Is the commander wearing shorts?
No.
What? So they're all taking lessons from Andrew about spraying really thick. Oh, look, he's putting on his mask. Look at him back there. He's putting on his mask back there.
So, Kenny, are you ready to go? Are you fired up, buddy?
I'm ready to go. I'm fired up, and we'll see what Jesus... Well, I'm waiting for Jesus to show up. Well, he's actually showed up now, so I'm excited right now, you know?
Well, good. Well, we love each and every one of you. One day, y'all can come down here with us and have a blast.
Yeah. Huh?
Okay, kill it, buddy.
All right. All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, you guys. So, here we are. All right, I have a little story to tell you guys. It's there was once an absent-minded professor who became so absorbed with his work that he forgot the simplest details. One morning, his wife said, "Now, Henry, remember, we're moving today. Here, I'm putting this note in your pocket. Don't forget." The day passed by, and the man came home to his house. He entered the front door and found the place empty. Distraught, he walked out to the curb and sat down. A young boy walked up to him, and the professor asked him, "Little boy, do you know the people who used to live here?" And the little boy replied, "Sure, Dad. Mom told me you would forget." All right. It's funny when you read a joke, you don't know what kind of response you're gonna get, if people are gonna get it or not. But that's the risk you take, right? And you guys got it. All right. So how often do we become so absorbed in the little things in this world that we forget who we are, whose we are, and where we're going? And that's kind of what happened to the professor. Let's open up a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity to be here. Lord, I just ask that every heart and every mind be open to what you have to say to each individual. Everyone's going to get a different message from you for wherever they are in their life right now. And I ask that you would speak to them, Lord, and use what words you've given me today to encourage their hearts and to give them the inspiration to connect with you more and to long for you in a great way in their lives. We give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I want to start this off because this message actually came as a result of a journey that I've been on, and I was speaking to Jim about this, and he somewhat gave me a title, but I kind of changed it to Living by Longing, and because it actually is what this journey actually inspired what I'm going to share with you today. When I think about longing, the definition for longing is having or showing a yearning or a desire for something. And I believe that that's what Paul had experienced as we go into this story of what his situation was and what he was dealing with. So I'm going to read the first part of this, which is not in your notes, but we're going to get to your notes as we go down, but I'm going to have it on the screen. So Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 18, it says, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me," and when Paul's talking about what has happened to him, he's talking about the fact that he's in prison. And he's in prison about to face a trial because he was preaching the gospel. And so as a result of this, he's kind of torn in his emotions. But as we see, he says that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. So he sees this as an opportunity to advance the gospel. Well, in what way? So that as it has become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard. So he shared it with the guards that he was speaking to in prison. And to all the rest, that my imprisonment is for Christ. And this was an encouragement for those who knew Paul. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed, preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. So what he's talking about in this situation is there is a group of people, there was a group of guys, those that were in service with him that were preaching the gospel because they saw what Paul was going through, so it inspired them to preach the gospel without fear. They were like, I'm going to go out here, I'm going to do it. And if they put me in prison, they put me in prison. I see Paul doing it, and because it's so important in that way, and he's inspired in that way, I'm going to do it. But then there was another group that of guys that knew the gospel, but at the same time, they didn't like Paul. So they went out and preached it in a way so that it would be worse, that Paul's experience would be worse in prison, so they thought. And so what I want to do in this time is to unpack this part which gave Paul the ability to endure during this time of trial that he was facing. Because we all go through different things. And a lot of times we have to have that same way of tapping into that our relationship with Jesus to help us endure through whatever we go through. And hopefully you guys will be encouraged through it. So I want to start with number one in your notes. What is my eager expectation and hope? What is my eager expectation and hope? And so this is something that we all need to think about in terms, because Paul had one, and he's going to explain it right here in Philippians 1, 19 through 20. In your notes, it says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." This will turn out for my deliverance. So Paul was expecting that no matter what happened, he was going to experience deliverance. Whether he was freed when he went to trial and they said, Paul, you're free to go. Or whether he died, he felt like his deliverance was going to come either way. And as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all, or I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by my death. So we see a human side to Paul here, that he did not want to be ashamed, but that he wanted the courage to really represent Christ in the midst of all this. And so he wasn't, a lot of times we kind of see Paul almost like Jesus in a way, but he's constantly helping us to see that he has some struggles within himself also, and that he's just a man representing Christ and representing Jesus and sharing the message as we are. We are the same. So how does this apply to us today? How does this apply to us today? Well, I thought about this and I thought, you know, we're all going to leave a legacy when we leave this earth one day. We're going to leave a legacy. Now, the thing is, what legacy will we leave? Will it be our own legacy or will it be the legacy of Jesus Christ in our lives? Because we want our children to carry that on. We want them to carry on our legacy, right? Whatever it may be, we want them to carry that on. So we want to represent in a way that our children will take the mantle and represent Christ in the same way, if not even more. One of the things I pray a lot, and I pray for my kids. Where are my kids? I don't see them in here right now. They must be standing out there in the back in outside, so hopefully they can hear this. We all want our kids. I pray for my kids because I want them to love Jesus more than me. I want them to serve Jesus more than I do. That would be the something that would truly please my heart. And so I pray for them all the time because, you know, they haven't fully tapped into what this whole thing is about yet. But I know as they know where my heart is regarding it. And I can ask them a question all the time. What do you know that my expectation is for you guys? And they'll explain it right away because they know. But they have to find it within themselves at the same time and to connect with Jesus in a way that's going to help them to grasp it beyond, you know, what they're experiencing in their life right now. One of the things I want to share with you guys, when I was thinking about a story for this, I was praying. I was like, okay, as I was praying for this message, I said, I need a story, something I can share with everyone that kind of fits into this. And then just last week, I park at an off-site parking structure, and we have a shuttle that comes to pick us up to take us to our office. And this guy, the driver's name's Louie. And I know Louie. I've known Louie for a long time, and I've seen, you know, his heart and how, even though he's an older guy, he's driven in his service to Jesus. And so I get into the shuttle with him, And, you know, he's a Hispanic guy. So he starts telling me how things, you know, his relatives, what they say, how things are in Mexico. And he told me the story was funny. He was saying how, you know, he said, just make sure I don't hit anyone. Because he said, it's just in my nature to hit someone and to drive off. I said, what? I was like, what are you talking about? And he said, well, that's how we do it in Mexico. And he said, I'm trying to change. I said, oh. I said, okay. And then he began, now, I don't know, anybody Hispanic in there kind of relate to that, know what he's talking about? But he began to explain to me about, he was talking about raising children, and he began to share with me his journey on raising his kids, how his older kids, he was really hard on them. And but then as he got to his younger children, he loosened up more. And he had a son. His son was, he said, man, my son, he was such a great kid, and he really loved the Lord. And I was like, wow. And he said, but he died. Or he said he was killed. And I was like, what? I said, well, what happened to him? And he told me the story of when he was in high school, that his son was a victim of a gang initiation. And it was a guy who was getting initiated into a gang, and they chose his son to be the one that this guy would kill. And but the thing that was so profound about Louis' story was that Louis, you know how when you're in the courtroom and he's being tried, he had a time where he can actually speak to the defendant. And one of the things he said to him in front of the whole courtroom is that, I forgive you. I forgive you for what you did to my son. And he said the whole courtroom was floored by the fact that he can do this, that he can forgive. They didn't quite understand it. But when he told me that, and he lives like that every day, his heart is like that, to be able to forgive in a situation like that, that his son had no, you know, there was no reason that should have happened to him. I mean, he's a good kid. He loved the Lord. But he lost his life, and it had changed Louis' life even more. He began to serve Jesus even at a higher level because of what had happened. And I was so moved by that. I said, wow, I have to tell this story, because this shows how a lot of times what we need to have that longing and that connection with Jesus, because of what we don't know what we can face in life, but to be able to apply that to our lives and to be able to live life in spite of it. One of the things I've always talked about, my wife and I have talked about, some of the things that I've gone through in my life and I've seen my oldest daughter go through and other family members, I would have never thought, or if someone would have told me I was going to go through that, I would have thought, what? I don't want to go through that. But I realized that in the midst of that whole thing, God's grace was there every step of the way. His grace is there in those moments when we're fighting about, we're dealing with something that's really hard for us. His grace is there, and it gets you through that. And but you got to tap into that. So what Paul was dealing with here, he wanted to not be ashamed, but to be full of courage. Full of courage. Either way, he wanted to be full of courage. And God has that same thing for us. In 2 Corinthians, and that'll be on the screen, chapter 5, verse 6 through 10, it says, so we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage and would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So that whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And that's our aim, to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So we're all going to have to stand before him for that reason. That has nothing to do with salvation. Our salvation is great, but he's going to ask us, you know, why did you do this or that? You know, because he's given us the tools to respond and handle situations in a godly manner, in the way that Jesus set the example for us to do. So here in, now we go on to number two in your notes, serving others is my fruitful labor. Now let me walk over here and get a little bit of water. Okay. So again, serving others is my fruitful labor. So here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 through 22, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell." So in this case, Paul was seeing, you know, a lot of times, you know, in our minds, I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. There have been times where I thought, man, you know, Lord, I just want to see the Steelers win one more Super Bowl. One more Super Bowl. Well, actually, I want to see them win six more Super Bowls. I mean, that's kind of a foolish thought, you know. But Paul here is talking about serving others and that being his fruitful labor. You know, when he's, by remaining, his whole thought was he was thinking about how he can help the Philippians church and help them to grow in their faith. And so it made me think, you know, how much my heart needs to go out to those that are here on this earth that, you know, whatever I can give in that sense. And we all should do it in the same way. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, there in your notes, says, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace." And so we have an opportunity to extend God's grace in service one to another. Someone wrote one day, "I got into a taxi and we took off for the airport. We were driving in the right lane when a car suddenly sped out of an alley right in front of us. My taxi driver slammed on the brakes and skidded and just missed crashing into the other vehicle by inches. The driver of that car stuck his head out the window and yelled at us. My taxi driver just smiled and waved at him. So I asked, 'Why did you just smile at him? That guy almost caused a wreck and then began cursing at you.' That was when my taxi driver taught me what I now call the lesson of the garbage truck. He explained that many people are like garbage trucks. They run around full of garbage, full of frustration, full of anger and disappointment. And as their garbage piles up, they need a place to dump it. And sometimes they'll dump it on you." He says, "Don't take it personally, and don't take their garbage and dump it on another person at home or at work or in the streets. Just smile and wish them well and move on. You see, what you pay attention to, what you dwell upon in life will generally determine the kind of decisions that you make." So I was kind of encouraged by that because I've been on like both sides of that, you know, where I've yelled at someone out the car. And but then I had an interesting situation happen one day. I was in Target and I was pulling out of a parking space. And as I was pulling out, I saw this car coming, and the guy that was pulling out, he wasn't looking, right? So I stopped. So when he finally looked, he saw my car sticking out. So he had to maneuver around it. And then he kind of, you know, did a little face and said some words. And so in my mind, I was like, all of a sudden the thought came to me, man, I was mad. I said, how's he getting mad at me? I said, he was the one that wasn't paying attention. I said, man, I'm going to give this guy a piece of my mind. So I jumped in the car and I drove around. I saw where he parked and I pulled up where he parked. And it was like the Lord just kind of hit me in that moment. So when I rolled down the window, the guy saw me. He didn't know what was getting ready to happen. So when he saw me roll the window down, I said, man, I apologize to you, man. You know, I said, forgive me. I just pulled out. I didn't really see you coming when I pulled out, but I'm sorry. And it diffused the whole thing. He said, you're good, man. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And so it made me feel better that I responded well in that situation instead of creating something that could have gone the wrong direction completely. But we've all experienced that, right? At one time or another, you know, we're on the freeway and we're frustrated about our day, and then all of a sudden someone does something and cuts in front of us, cuts us off or whatever. And I hate that. I pray a lot of times, Lord, help me to be a source of peace in someone's life today. I don't want to cut into a lane and then have someone honking at me and they're mad. Let me try to find a way to diffuse that before it even gets started. Let me be conscious of it. But we all been through it. But it's something that we all have to think about, you know, each and every day. What message are we going to put out in terms of what we deal with? Each time we have to make that decision in that moment. So here in our notes, number 3 says, How much do I desire Jesus? How much do I desire Jesus? And in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23 through 24, it says, I'm hard pressed. This is Paul again. I'm hard pressed between the two. So he's still struggling with this idea. Now, I don't struggle with this a lot of times, but I want to. I want to be at a place where I'm struggling with it, because sometimes my heart is more, I'm thinking about, you know, if I ever have to leave this earth, I'm thinking, man, how's that going to affect my kids, my wife, you know, my family, you know. That's what I think about. But he's struggling between the two, and he says, my desire is to depart and be with Christ. That's his desire. We want to have that same desire in those moments. But that comes through an everyday relationship with God, us connecting with him. That desire gets built because we are familiar with Jesus. We know him. We love him. We have that love relationship with him. And he says, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account, speaking to the Philippians church. So at the same time, his reason for staying is for the cause of the kingdom of Christ, to be there to help others grow. And I thought about this in the midst of a journey that I've been on. And many people know about this, but I around the day before Thanksgiving, like I've been dealing with tinnitus. Everybody knows what tinnitus is, right? It's when you have ringing in your ears. So I've been dealing with that for like 5 years now. And I remember when it first happened, I thought, how could I live the rest of my life if there's no cure for this and this will never go away? How do I deal with this? I mean, in the beginning, it was tough. I went to an audiologist one day, and basically the best advice she gave me was to ignore it like it's background noise. She said, that's the best way to deal with it. And she was right. I started to ignore it, and I noticed that as I got caught up with other things that I forget it was there, even though I knew it was there, but it became background noise, like, you know, a trash truck doing something over here or a siren going over here. And so it became background noise like that. But this past year, the day before Thanksgiving, my right ear kind of took a turn for the worse. And it was like a feeling where all of a sudden it was clogged. And then everything that I heard from this ear, if you spoke to me, I wouldn't be able to make out what you said, because it would be like listening through a cracked speaker. So I'd be like, what? So I had to plug this ear up and listen with this one. And at that point, I didn't know what was going on. So I talked to Carla. I said, Carla, you're going to have to take me to the clinic because I need to find out. Maybe I have an ear infection. Get to the clinic. It's not an ear infection. But he said, I'm going to give you an antibiotic anyway, just to make sure. And so I go through that, and he said, but if it doesn't change in the next few days, then go see your ENT. So I did. I go to my ENT. My ENT takes me through a hearing test, and I find out that I dramatically lost hearing in this ear compared to the other one and compared to previous tests. And so he says, but your ear pressure is good. He says, you don't have an ear infection. So he says, we need to find out what's going on because we can't tell. So you need to have an MRI and another, you know, audio test. And so I set that up. So I really want this to happen like today. So I go to the clinic, and I mean, I go to the audio place, and, you know, I can't get an appointment. Nothing's happening. So it's like 2 weeks down the road. I'm like, oh man, I said, I got to deal with this for 2 weeks, wondering what is going on. And so finally the time comes, and actually, it was a week down the road, because the MRI was a week. The audio test was going to be 2 weeks, but then I asked them if they get a cancellation, let me know. And they got a cancellation so I can go, and it was going to be the day after the MRI. And so I go in, I have the test done. Now this is the funny thing. So you guys, I know probably more than half this room's been through an MRI. I've been through it with my knee. I'd never been through it with anything else. So I go in, I lay down, and the guy puts my head in this thing and clamps me in, gives me these earplugs, and I'm like, I can't hear, I can't get up. I said, no. I said, I can't do this. I said, I can't do this. And so I had the guy take me out. I said, let me go in without all that stuff so I can see how this feels first. And so he let me go in, and I said, okay. I said, because I want to see how far you're going to put me in here. And once he did that, then I was like, okay, I can deal with this. So we go through the process. So, after I complete the MRI, and then I go to the audio test the next day, the audiologist. He tells me, after he gives me the test, that because of the dramatic loss in hearing in this ear, he says, it's a nerve, and that'll never change. He says, so you need hearing aids. I'm like, what? And so he lets me try them, and they were fantastic. I was like, wow, these things are pretty cool, you know? And so I'm like, I call my wife. I'm like, you know, he says I may need these hearing aids, blah, blah, blah. And she brings me back to reality. She says, you can't make a decision like that right now. She says, you got to find out what's going on first. She says, you know, just hold off because we need to, you know, do a little research on this and make sure we got the right kind if that's going to be the case. But you know what the funny thing about it? I felt like I was in a car dealership. And I realized this guy was telling me all this because he wanted to sell the hearing aids. So he did one of those things like, well, you're going to talk to your wife. I'm going to step out of the room and give you a chance to talk to your wife. And so I'm talking to Carl, and he sticks his head back in. Everything okay? I'm like, what is going on here? So if you're an audiologist in here, please, I'm not trying to hurt your business, but be less like a car salesman. That's all I can say. So anyway, I finally get the report back about the MRI, and it's negative. There's nothing there. So the truth is that they were trying to see if there was a tumor there. Now, I've been through cancer, as you all know, so that was a scary place to be for me. But it tested me because at the same time, I cry out to God because I didn't know what it was going to be. But I had to accept, you know, whatever result it is. So I just put it in Jesus' hands. I said, Jesus, you hold the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So you make the decision whether it's my time to go now or later or whenever. And so I trust you. And that was a struggle at first because I went through a couple of weeks of not sleeping well with wondering what was wrong. But he brought me to a place where I was able to just decide, okay, I'm going to sleep. I'm done with this worrying. I'm going to sleep. So I was glad that the test came back negative, but my doctor kind of left me hanging because he didn't know what was wrong. So this is to show you how God works. After being left in limbo, not knowing, and I was going to think, what am I going to do with this? I tell Alex Sullivan about it, right? Alex is back there right now, relaxing. I don't know, what are you doing? What are you eating, man? But the funny thing was, he told his mom about this. And his mom, she called my wife and said, hey, I know a doctor. You know, I went through something similar to that, and maybe that's what he's dealing with. So I connect with her, and she tells me her doctor. I go see the doctor. And this guy, man, I walked in his office. He told me exactly what I was dealing with. And he says, this is what you need to do. I'm going to have to give you prednisone for about 3 weeks, he said, and he said, we deal with hundreds of patients like this. Now, I'm like thinking, what happened with my guy, you know? Like, how come he doesn't know this? And sure enough, man, New Year's Day, I felt this ear change, and the whole clogness went away, and all of a sudden, when I hear people, I can, they sounded normal again, and I went back to the doctor after I finished the prednisone. And he gave me a hearing test, and he says, your ears are right where they should be for your age. He said, my hearing went back up to, and I was like, but this was one of those things where we go through things a lot of times in our lives, and we can't see the forest for the trees, you know what I'm saying? And in that moment, you just feel like, you almost feel like giving up, or you feel hopeless, but the grace that Jesus provides is there. And we sometimes we won't see that until we get to the end. And I had no idea if anything was going to change. And I was starting to get to a place where I was like, if it doesn't change, then I have to find somewhere in here God's going to give me the grace to deal with this and live with it. But when it changed, I was just so thankful of what Jesus had done through this doctor and how he used him in this way. And so this created the desire in me that I wanted Jesus. I want to, you know, no matter what happens in my life, Jesus is where I need to be. I need him when those type of things come up because I never know, you know, like 20 years down the road or whatever, what state I'm going to be dealing with. What I've seen people that are a lot older and some of the things they deal with. And when I see them, I think, I don't want to go through that. But I don't know what I'm going to go through. But the grace of God is there to take me through it, no matter what it is. And in Psalms 107, in your notes right there, verse 8 through 9 says, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. This is our God. He satisfies a longing soul and a hungry soul. He fills with good things. And then in Psalms 42, which will be on the screen, verse 1 through 2, it says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? And this is what our desire should be, to thirst for God, to long for God. Because I really believe that we do. But sometimes life derails us in so many ways because of issues that we deal with that we forget that he's right there to fill us with what we need to deal with that thing. And so we need to thirst and long for him. Let your heart take you to Jesus, to your knees in those moments when you struggle with whatever you may encounter in life. I've realized that, you know, and this is something I want to study on, but I realized there we encounter very similar things throughout our life. We either deal with some kind of health issue, a financial issue, a relationship issue, loss. I mean, there's several things that we're going to encounter as we go through life. So we may go through finance for this time, and then next time it's relational. But in those moments, those are the moments where we have an opportunity to experience God's grace. I look at what Paul was going through. He was going through it for the cause of Christ. Now, in a lot of ways, in some places in the world, people are still suffering for the cause of Christ, for the furthering of the gospel. Now, in our country, we may not suffer for that right now. In some ways, we may, you know, because of someone's reaction to us. It may cause us to suffer for that. But also in this life, one of our tests is the enemy tries to bring these trials that we deal with every day against us. And we have the opportunity in the midst of those things to get on our knees and say, God, I need your grace. God, I need your grace to get me through this. I need you to show me how to deal with this. And he will be there for you. He will be there for us. So in Philippians, as we go on, our fourth one here, number four, the fruit of the Spirit is one way to gauge my progress. Now, what is this talking about? Here in Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 25 through 26, it says, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all. So this is Paul's decision. He's convinced that everything's going to work out. And this is for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus, because of my coming to you again. So how is Christ formed in us? He's formed in us by the Holy Spirit. And so we'll see here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, it says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So these are the things how we can gauge where we are. You know, we need that time every day to reflect and examine our hearts of how did we deal with things today. Did I respond in love? Was I in joy? Was the peace of God there? Was I patient or kind in this situation? I mean, when you measure yourself up against this, it's an opportunity to see where the character of Christ is being developed in you. And sometimes we don't realize what we've done. We don't realize what has taken place in our lives that day. And it's just a moment for us to reflect and say, Jesus, show me my day. Show me how I've responded to those that don't know Christ, to those that do know Christ. How have I dealt with different situations in my life? Show me, because a lot of times we don't know. And he can show us, you know, and sometimes, you know, we may struggle and say, well, I don't know, you know, I like, one of my kids would say, Dad, I prayed, but God didn't answer my prayer. Oh, I think they're out there somewhere probably listening to that right now. But I encourage them. I always say, God knows how to, he knows how to get you to answer. He knows how to speak to you about what needs to be said. You know, most of the times, but you need to spend time reading the words that he's put here in the scriptures. And if you do that, then it prepares your heart. Because a lot of times we can't, no, I mean, we could if we really tried. I know people who memorize the whole Bible, literally. But probably most of us aren't going to do that, you know, memorize the whole Bible. But if we take the time and search the scriptures, find out the things that apply to our life, how does this apply to my life? And Jesus, show me so that I can, you know, work through this. And he will speak to us because that's his language. His language is the word. Jesus is the word of God. And so those things on the pages of the Bible or the scrolls or whatever, those are the words of Jesus. And it's an opportunity for us to learn about ourselves through those passages. Now, in 1 John, which will be on the screen here, chapter 4, verse 7 through 21, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." And so I think about that a lot of times, and you know, this is an important key for us as believers, because we love God. We love God. And so he wants us to have that same, and I think Jim brought this up in his message last week about the new commandment to love one another, and it's the same thing that was brought out here in 1 John, for us to love one another. Because when we have a relationship with God who is love, then we can't help but love, right? If we're in there with him, he's rubbing off on us. The love of God is rubbing off on us because we're experiencing that in our personal life. So then it comes out of us also when we are operating one with another and with others. I was thinking about the story of Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl, he was a guy who was a psychotherapist back in the days of, I think, World War II, Austrian guy. And what happened to him was he was committed to a concentration camp. And during his time there, he was tested. His belief was tested. Now, he's not a Christian guy. He was a Jewish guy. But it says that his beliefs were tested to the core. But he survived the experience, and he went on to write a book called Man's Search for Meaning. And one of the things that he brought out, it was a quote that he made. He said, "Everything can be taken from a man but one thing. That's the last of the human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." So what happened to him in the midst of his torment, in the midst of his suffering, and how they were treating him and whatever, he chose to not in that moment be bitter. But what he did, this was very interesting, he saw himself in this situation, not knowing how long he was going to be in it, but he saw himself in this situation, but he looked to the future and he saw himself speaking at a college to some students about the situation he was in. And he began to believe that as a result, he would one day that would come true. And I was thinking about that. I was like, wow, that's very interesting, being that, you know, that he came to that conclusion. But one of the things about it, long before there was a Viktor Frankl, there was a man named Jesus and his servant Paul. And they understood this whole thing also. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, it says, "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." And this is something we can think about when we're going through the things that we go through in this life. Always remember this. This comes to my mind a lot of times when I'm going through a trial. When I was going through this, my mind thought about this. "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long." Now, to me, I was thinking, this ain't really small, but I was believing this isn't going to last very long. And it says, "Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them." The glory will outweigh what we're going through. And we have to put our faith in this. And it says, and will last forever. So the glory is going to last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. So in that moment, Viktor Frankl, he was fixing his gaze on something that wasn't happening to him right then. He was looking beyond his circumstance. And this is what Paul was sharing. This is how Paul, another way he dealt with this situation he was in. So he says here, "For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." And so I think about that a lot of times when I'm facing different trials, and we all go through them. As soon as you get through one thing, and sometimes we may not look at it this way. Sometimes when we go through something, we try to fix it ourselves. And that's the real struggle. But we miss out. When we try to fix it ourselves, we miss out on the opportunity to experience this this glory that vastly outweighs the situation. We miss out on that if we try to fix it ourselves. So the thing is, we need to go to Jesus. We need to go to the Word of God and allow Jesus and the Word of God to invade us in a way that as we go through what we go through, that we can experience that glory that will outweigh the situation that we're facing. And it's such a great opportunity. And so for me, I felt like I didn't know that that situation was going to change for me. I wasn't sure. But either way, kind of like Paul, you know, Paul was like, well, either they're going to set me free or they're going to set me free. You know, either I'm going to be free to be on this earth for the people, or I'm going to be free to be with Jesus. And that's where I believe God wants our hearts to be in whatever we deal with. Whatever we deal with, he will give us the grace in those moments to deal with that situation. You ever, that one verse of scripture says that no temptation has taken us but such as common to man, but God with the temptation will make a way for us to escape so we can bear it. A lot of people just see that, you know, I hear different people quoted, athletes, movie stars, they say, well, do you know the Lord wouldn't put something on you that you couldn't handle? But it's really dealing with a temptation in that moment. It's just not dealing with just anything. But just the fact that when you're in a temptation, he even gives you the grace so that you can deal with that. You can walk away from it. You don't have to fall into it. It's always there. And so in the situations we deal with in life, if we can tap into that, we can tap into that, we can experience that glory that vastly outweighs the problem itself. And that's what Paul had the opportunity to experience. And he was at a place where either way he was going to experience, whether he was really free free to serve on this earth or free to be with Jesus. And that's where our hearts, you know, I encourage us in every way for our hearts to be at that same place. And it takes time. It takes time. You know, Jesus understands that. But every day, because we desire to be closer to Jesus, we desire to love him. And those opportunities come each and every day. They may come in the form of a person. They may come in the form of a health situation. They may come in the form of a financial situation where our integrity has to line up. And we have to make a decision. Are we going to do this the right way? Where it glorifies God. How am I going to glorify God in this situation right now? Am I just going to try to, you know, work it to where, you know, I get by, you know, I come up with this plan, this idea, and I just get by on it? Or do I really want to be honest and a person of integrity in this situation? Or, you know, we may deal with a situation with loss that's really tough, but he's right there with us. Jesus is there with us to hold us in those situations too. It's tough. But he's there to be with us, and he will get us through so that we can live on in life. My wife and I just went to a funeral for a friend of ours just a couple of days ago, and it was a rough time for everyone that knew her, and she was a very important part of my wife's life, you know, in helping her get to where she is on her job. And one of the things my wife reminded me about this was someone had shared how they didn't know how they could go on after losing this person. Well, I mean, that's where Jesus comes in. He can help you go on. You have to find purpose in him. You know, maybe you were finding purpose in that person, but you need to find purpose in Christ and let Jesus be the one that gives you and fulfills you that purpose so you can go on. Because I know that any person would want you, you know, my hope and prayer is that, you know, at that point they, you know, would want you to go on and do what Jesus would have you to do. So my last thing to you is let's long for Jesus. Let's long for him every day. Because if we long for him, it brings us to the place each and every morning to spend a moment talking to him, spend a moment reflecting and just reading his word. And then in the evenings after and throughout the day, really. I mean, it's something that we have to ask Jesus, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to do this? You know, what does it mean for me? You know, Jesus, lead me on this path. Help me with this because I want to be closer to you. I want to know you. And so as times come, when things are rough, I can come to you in those moments. And you can be my shelter in the storm. You can be my strong tower. in those moments when things are tough. He wants to be that for all of us. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for each and every heart in here. Each person is here because they love you, Jesus. And we all encounter, you know, the trials and tribulations of this life. No one likes them, but we know that they're going to come. So with that in mind, Lord, we want and desire you because we need you to be with us. Yeah, we have family. Yeah, we have friends that will be with us during those times. But really, you are the source that we really need to tap into as we face the various things, because we don't know what we're going to face. But Lord, thinking back in my life, I realized, man, how did I get through that? It was because of you. And I thank you that every person that has experienced that or hasn't, that they will experience your grace and your love in those moments as they fall to their knees and cry out to you. So I thank you, Lord, for your blessing today. Thank you for this opportunity today. And I ask you to be with each person going forward as they spend that time with you. Lord, you're faithful. So we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys have a great day.